An interesting phenomenon that on the one hand the Ramah says that the minhag was to be mekel, to wait an hour, but he says what's nachal nasos is to what he says is nachal nasos is to wait 6 hours. So of course the minhag in Ashkenaz generally is this position that one waits 6 hours, and the question would be, does it need to be a full 6 hours, or waiting simply 5 and a little, is that going to be enough? So the mashmos of the Ramah clearly is 6 full hours. In other words, what Ramah calls a minig nachon seems to be six hours. However, there are some who say that in the Rambam, I think it's reported in the name of Reb Chaim, that Kishe shows is that a 5 and a little would be enough. I think there are disagreements whether that member in the name of Reb Chaim is correct, but the Rambam added the word Kishe shows, so it could be that 5 and a little are enough. Rav Nevensal told me that he thinks that you could combine a few leniencies together within this more stringent opinion. And that is that if you have a home or a yeshiva that consistently eats meals with 5 and a little bit, then in such a case, they could be mekel, because number one, it's clearly misu'uda l'su'uda. So let's say in Yeshiva Koto and Netiv Aryeh, let's say they would have lunch at 1:30 and supper at 6:45. So then in such a case, we have to also calculate when the person finished the fleishiks and starting the milchiks. But in such a case, he thought that as a tziruf, you could rely on these two things. That number one, mi'ikar didina, clearly the Gemara says mi'suda l'suda. Many Rishonim only require su'udah l'su'udah and just berchas hamazon. And B is that there are shitas that hold that 5 and a little are going to be enough.
Why would that be limited to a yeshiva? Why not like any time that happens?
Oh, so the reason why is that he limited to a setting where it's always done that way, where is because otherwise then nasata dvarach l'shiurim, everybody could decide when that they're going to want to go misu'uda l'su'uda, and then essentially then you're not following the shita sarambam anymore. Notice what he wants to do is combine and say, even if you're going to be choshesh for the shita sarambam, but at the end of the day you could have the more lenient position of the Rambam and have a kavua su'uda l'su'uda. In other words, that the mashmos clearly from the Gemara would be that if you have a kavua su'uda l'su'uda, that would be mutter. So it's a tziruf of using the Rambam l'kula, but the moment in which you would start playing around and you would start doing meals at different time, one day 3 hours, one day 4 hours, and so on, so then that's not a clear enough misu'uda l'su'uda. In other words, we don't really follow the sheet of the Bali Tosas. But if it's a formalized su'uda l'su'uda, then in such a case that's going to be enough. Yes, Natan.
Yeah, I was wondering whether there's like a component of like counter pressure in yeshiva, meaning because it has these counter pressures of the yeshiva schedule.
Correct.
And you need more to like justify.
I don't think Rav Nevensal holds that way. Yeah. I think he all. But what it does needs to be is that the time needs to be kavua. Needs to be kavua. But I think the same would apply. Let's say you had someone who is his kolel schedule work out in such a way, if he always ate at those times, then in such a case I think he would say that as well.
What does it mean always also? Like what happens on Friday when...
No, always means that generally Sunday through Thursday without an onis.
But on Friday... And
yeah, that I think is still going to be... I think would be okay. Yeah. Okay, are there exceptions that we can be mako on the six hours? So there are a couple exceptions in the Pisrei Tshuva Sivkatan Gimel. He writes in Sivkatan Gimel, "Va'ayim b'tshuvas chsam seifer, dechoyla hasheisem imecholav l'refuaso." That if you have someone who's sick who needs to drink milk, afilu hu rak chol latzas, ein sarech lahamtin acharachil esbaso yosem isha. So definitely we paskin, you need an hour and berchas hamazon. An hour alone is not enough. You need berchas hamazon. and the emphasis being su'uda l'su'uda, because Berachas HaMazon is what creates that mi-su'uda l'su'uda. But at the same time, if you have a chola, you could rely on the lenient opinion. Now, there's something similar in the Chachmas Adam. You'll tell me what the difference between the Chachmas Adam and the Chsam Sofer is. Take a look in our booklet. We have the Chachmas Adam over here. Chachmas Adam writes, it's not the first Chachmas Adam. It's Chachmas Adam on page Kuf Mem Vav. It's after the Crazy Play. See, he writes in Klal Mem, Sif Katan Yud Gimel. He says, when we call Makom, Letzor Cholik Tzas, Nirali De Pashut, V'yesh Lahatir, Afilu Acha Basa Behem La'achar Shiantin Shah, V'yachted Shenov, La'achar Birchas Hamazon. So he says, someone who's a cholek tzas could be meikel. Now, I'd like you to look at this whole Chachmas Adam, because he's starting off over there talking about the sugya of tafshil shel basar and tafshil shel chalav. So I leave it as an open question, but the poskim generally quote this, the Kitzer books quote this Chachmas Adam as saying is that the Chachmas Adam is meikel for a chola in general to wait shah achas with Kinuach and Adachah. So first of all, he mentioned Kinuach Adachah, but the Pesachei Tshuva doesn't mention from the Chsam Sofer. It is interesting whether Chachmas Adam was only talking about Tavshil Shel Basar and Tavshil Shel Chalav, which we have a Chumra and Sif Gimel, but most poskim assume that the Chachmas Adam was talking in general about a Chola. If that reading is correct, that the Chachmas Adam is talking about a Chola in general, so then I would argue the Chachmas Adam is even being more makel than the Chsam Sofer, because the Chsam Sofer was talking about a chola that needs milk. He needs milk, so then in such a case, after an hour after Birchas HaMazon, he's meikel. The Chachmas Adam seems to say, if you're sick, and so since someone is sick is weaker, so then you could be meikel in general. It doesn't sound like he got milk prescribed for him. That's the difference between the Chachmas Adam's presentation in those concluding lines and the Chsam Sofer. So it could be we even have a bigger kula from the Chachmas Adam than we do from the Chsam Sofer. Yes?
Chori is only saying it in a case where milk is maybe beneficial. And either as, you know, he needs, like, he's dehydrated, he needs something, the only thing you have is milk, or that.
Really? Or the chola is weak. Or the chola is weak. So I don't think I'm not convinced that Chsam Sofer would say that, in other words, the Chachmas Adam is hutra. The Chsam Sofer is a dechuya. He's saying that if you need the milk, then in such a case it would be.
No, if you just have chulik sas and you have Gatorade that will help the person and the milk, I don't think he's saying that.
If each are accessible, easily accessible. But I think what the Chachmas Adam is saying is just like we say that in Hilchos Shabbos, the halacha is that in B'makom Chola we don't make gzeira. So too over here. That's what it sounds like.
But this sounds like much less. It sounds like if Cholik Sas is not Mamish, a Chola.
Okay, so maybe he's being quite Mako. Maybe that's what he's doing. So let's take a look. Rabbi Forst's example works, Natan, with your point. Rabbi Forst's example on page 198 in the Laws of Kashrus is, however, one suffering from an ailment that requires him to eat dairy needs to wait only 1 hour. And that's the example that he gives. He says, of course, you need a bracha achrona and you need ki nuach and hadacha. I'm not convinced that the Chachmas Adam was talking about only when he needs to drink milk. By the way, he extends this also to a nursing woman as well. This will come up. A nursing mother who needs to drink milk often has similar status. And Natan and I have a machlokas. In other words, Natan understands that it's because she needs milk to be able to nurse. And I would say, let's say she doesn't feel strong, And what gives her koach is a chocolate bar. And she's.
I'm saying that also, but only if that's what you need.
Okay.
So if it's what you have, if there's an alternative, then what?
Okay. Obviously, if there's an easy alternative. The nafgamina is whether the milk is what's necessary because of the condition. All of Rabbi Force examples are when the milk is necessary to remedy the condition.
I was just saying that
Rabbi Force sounds that way. Okay, so I'm just, then I'm saying that I think the Chachmas Sadim is different.
Anytime you have an alternative, then we're going to...
Okay. Right, that I would agree, of course. If there would be an alternative that is just as convenient for her, then in such a case I would agree.
Well, that would be telling you whether or not you view it as dechuya or...
Correct, correct.
Meaning if you viewed it as such, then you wouldn't agree with that. Meaning you'd say milk is just as good as Gatorade because etc.
That hutra, when I said hutra, I said like hutra by a chola on Shabbos. In other words, that when it comes to a chola on Shabbos, so there are certain gzeiros that we don't make. The reason you're doing it is on behalf of the chola, that it's going to help the chola in some way. But if it's efshar al yidei acher, I think that it could be that it would still be fine. This takes us into another area. And that is not only the halachas of a chola, but also halachas of children. Rabbi Forst connects the two issues. He points out that this heter that we have for chola could also apply to young children. That tells us in Shabbos on Kuf Chaf Aleph describes that a child has a din chola. And should not delay its drinking of milk, and therefore one would be allowed to feed children as a baby as well. What about a young child? So I'm gonna present to you two different ways. And this comes up all the time. People often ask this question: what are the requirements in terms of children waiting from meat to milk? So the way Rabbi Forst presents it is he presents, as you can see, three categories. Number one is an infant. Number two is a young child, and number three is an older child, the age of six. So he says from 3 years and on, so then in such a case, one should try not to give children, then one should try to have them wait, even waiting an hour. And he suggests already training the child at that age to go up from year to year. The Hainu that, let's say, from in his presentation, that a child already 4 or 5 at age 4 waiting 2 hours, age 5 waiting 3 hours, and then his next Hagdara is a child above the age of 6. So then in such a case, he says the mitzvah chinuch is going to apply from 6 hours already. He says you could be mako if the child is thirsting for milk or insists, then you can be mako from the age of 9 or 10 up until age 9 or 10. But from age 9 or 10, then in such a case you'd have to be machmir. If you take a look, another sefer that I like for halach lemaisa is the Pischei Tshuvas, Rav Shraga. I found his sefer on the shelf. I enjoyed it a lot. And it turns out he's doesn't live far away from me. So on page Samach Aleph, he points out a Chelkas Yaakov. Now, Rabbi Forst is also working with the Chelkas Yaakov, but he doesn't take the Chelkas Yaakov out of Sof. He points out in footnotes number 63 that the Chelkas Yaakov has a Ha'ara, that when it comes to Ilchas Tainis, in Simin Tafresh Tez Zayin Siv Beis, that the mitzvah of starting to fast on Yom Kippur starts only at age 9. So therefore he says that you could be mekel b'shah achas up until the age of 9. And from the age of 9, so then in such a case, one could start working up with the child. It seems to me that a lot of children at ages 6 or 7 are not at the point that are ready to have a full chinuch for 6 hours. And I think his raya that the halachos of being mis'anin b'shos is a good dimion, because the parallel is that in both those cases you're asking the child to deprive themselves. So when it comes to the halachas of taimis l'shol, so then we begin at age 9. So too, it would seem to me that makes a lot of sense in terms of 6 hours to start encouraging the children at the age of 9. From the age of 6, it would seem to me that already makes sense then to start suggesting to them to go from hour 1 to hour 2 to hour 3. If I recall correctly, I have to check my notes, I think Rav Nevensal was also into this Hagdara. The other Hagdara that Rabbi Forst is advocating in his Sefer, which comes from Rav Stern, I believe the Debert Sina Rav, is more stringent. It means already starting by age 6, telling the children to, encouraging the children already to wait a full 6 hours, seems to me to be a little bit heavy. Although he does quote, here the Pesachei Tshuvos does quote, that Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita also has that approach as well from the Stipler. But my impression was that Rav Nevensal was not as a machmir. Another kula that we're going to have with the fact that the Ramah paskins that all you need is an hour is a kula she'asi lidei hatzala. And that is, what happens if someone makes a bracha and then they realize that they ate fleishiks and they make a bracha and the only thing that's in front of them is that shahakal, and really lechatchila, when you make a bracha on something, then the item that's in front of you, that's the item that you're supposed to eat. So they ate fleishiks, and it's 2 hours after they ate fleishiks, and they want to have a chocolate bar, they forgot, they make a bracha, shahakal, now what are they supposed to do? So Chacham Avadya in Chavadas, Chelik Dalit, Simin, Mem Aleph, it's towards the end of your booklet. Chacham Avadya says that in such a case, one should eat in such an instance and be saved from a bracha levatala. This is also presented by the Be'er Moshe. The Be'er Moshe says the same thing. That's the same Debert Sina Rav. That's in the booklet. That is in Simin Chavdal. I don't remember which volume it is. It's probably on the Ma'amar Koma sheet. Yeah, Chelik Dalit, Simin Chavdalit. And the Be'er Moshe says that since we paskin, the Ramah paskins that after Shah's mutter, so definitely one could be makel. Here, but Chacham Avadi here is the bigger chiddush, because the mechaber is machmir for 6 hours. So if the mechaber is machmir for a full 6 hours, so then maybe you should be stuck. You are an ones. But here he says, he points out that he thinks that since many, many, many Rishonim are Mekel, so then in such a case, in the case of a chshash of Bracha Levatala, whether you hold Bracha Levatala is an Isur D'oraisa L'sisa Shem Hashav, like the Rambam, or you hold like the Bali Tosas, if you take a look at that tshuva from Chacham Avadya, he says either instance you should eat. So what emerges is that there are extenuating circumstances where the poskim would encourage someone to be makel for an hour period of time. Okay.
If you're within the hour?
What's that?
If you're within the hour, then you go with bracha levatala.
Oh, so if you're within the hour, so that I wasn't clear to me from the other poskim. Both those poskim. Dahinu, both according to the Be'er Moshe as well as Chacham Avadya, it wasn't clear to me if in such a case you should eat. I have to get back to you on that. Both of them only spoke about what I recall is after the hour.
Do you think there's still room to say that you should eat it?
There is room. The room would be, first of all, if you hold like the Rambam, and Yisr D'oraisa is only Bishul Basar B'chalav. Basar B'chalav, that's Mevushal together. There is a lot of room to.
Even within an hour, you might have some.
You can't bench then, right? But, yeah.
I mean, if you bench.
If you bench.
You still have some.
I would say, without looking into what the post can say, if you're asking me, al regal achas, what I would say that if a person benched, then in such a case, I would say that they should eat. I agree with you. If they didn't bench, so then that's a lechura is going to get involved with Achlokas Rambam and Tosis. That the Rambam would probably tell the person to eat, because the Rambam holds that a bracha levatala is an iser do raisa lo sisa shem hashav, would tell the person not to eat. But the Bali Tosos, the Rambam would say tell a person to eat, because the bracha levatala will be an iser do raisa. And the Bali Tosos, I think there's room to argue that they would tell the person not to. Because at the end of the day, what did they say? They said, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, blessed are you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shakol niyeh b'dvara. So one shouldn't do it. The Rabbanan say you shouldn't waste your brachos, v'chulei v'chulei. But that it's not mamish being mosi shem shemayim without talos. So that might be totally in that machlokus rishon. Okay, I skipped a couple parts in the Ramah, and let's go back to those parts. So first, the Ramah says, v'motza acharkach basar bein hashinayim, if a person finds meat between his teeth, so then, of course, what was the halacha? You need to remove it. Ume siro, and then you do remove it. Tzarech la'adiach piv kodem she'ochal gvina. Some people are not aware of this. This could happen. This often happens if you had a good fleisha gesiyim the night before, and you wake up early the next morning, and you're about to have a coffee, right? When you make a siyim, you always must start new. So you wake up early the next morning, and you're about to start learning again, about to have your coffee, and then you realize that there's still some meat from leftover. So then the halacha is that you're supposed to remove the meat, and you're also supposed to be mediach piv kodem she'ochal gvina. And that's how we pass, and that's what should be done. Why? What's that based on? So the Gra has a beautiful ha'ara. The Gra in Dalid says, De'ein moshech, nihide moshech tam. It's true that if it's 10 hours later, then it won't be moshech tam. But lo gara migvina, de'gam kein ein moshech tam. But it's no worse than cheese. Now, we haven't learned this yet, but in Siv Beis, what's the halacha? If you have cheese, you don't have to wait 6 hours, but you do need to wash out your mouth. Kinuach en adacha, that we spoke about before. So the Gra says that if you have meat between your teeth, so then removing that would be no better than eating cheese. And just like when it comes to cheese, you need kinuach en hadacha because of, it would seem, the Maharam seems to say, because we're still choshesh for the cheese between your teeth, and therefore when you have going from cheese to fleishiks, so too, if you have the actual meat in your mouth, so then even if it's more than 6 hours later, so then in such a case, it's no better than having gvina. So that would be, that's that halacha. Okay. Now,
according to Maharam, maybe the reasons that you're choshish the cheese is in your teeth.
So we're going to get to that. That's a long discussion.
How about after a while, is that also
sort of... Very good. So all of those things, that Sif Beis is a very important taz. In Sif Katan Dal, it's going to take us some time. Emir Tzashem, we're going to get there. Okay. So but now how do you cheshbon 6 hours? When do you cheshbon from? Do you cheshbon from the time that you bench? In other words, from benching to the eating of milk, so that you have to wait 6 hours? Or do you cheshbon the 6 hours from the last time that you ate? So says the Dagel Mervava, Mikan mashma lehedya, d'sheishos hayin misof achilas basar atchilas sudas agvina. Sherei hutzruch lefarish she'ein tzarech lahamtin mishas hasara mashma, avul misof achila al kolponim tzarech lahamtin. So the Dagel Mervava says that the halacha is that you wait from the last time you ate the meat. That's how we paskin. That's how we're noheg, that you cheshbon from the time that you ate meat. It should be noted, it's not well known, that the Aruch HaShulchan actually disagreed with this. The Aruch HaShulchan is Mefurish in Siv Dalet. I think I photocopied this for you. The Aruch HaShulchan in Siv Dalet, yes, it is in the booklet. It's after the Chach Masalim on page Kuf Mem Hei. The Aruch HaShulchan says that you have to wait from benching. And he has a very interesting svara. He says, V'dash, ha'amtona shei shos, hu misel suda shel basar, at kudas ha'suda shel chalav. V'afim be'es ha'skalas ha'suda lo yoch ha'chalav, o she besov ha'suda basar, lo achal basar, nei sha'agamar ekbidu misa'uda la'sa'uda. So the Aruch HaShulchan has a very sharp point. He says the Gemara said that you need to wait from Su'uda la Su'uda. So we understood Su'uda la Su'uda being 6 hours. So if that Su'uda la Su'uda is 6 hours, so argues the Aruch HaShulchan, so then the requirement of waiting 6 hours should be of the fullest, because the Gemara's description is Su'uda la Su'uda. So you wait to the equivalent of that, and the equivalent of that is 6 full hours from one Su'uda to the next. That's the Aruch HaShulchan Svara. If you read the Dalam Ravava carefully, which I did not do, I glossed over something in the Dalam Ravava, you'll see where the Dalam Ravava deduces his contrary position. Okay, so that is a machlokas between Dalam Ravava and Aruch HaShulchan. Bottom line, Rav Miller said here years ago that the Minhag HaOlam is clearly like the Dalam Ravava, not the Aruch HaShulchan. Whether the Aruch HaShulchan, how are you going to be matche the diuk in the Gemara? That's an interesting question. Yeah.
Next question. I mean, the Rambam understood Suda L'Suda is a shear in time. He didn't understand it to be like Tosfos. Tosfos understood it to mean Mamash Kain Suda L'Suda. The Rambam thought the Gemara was just using a way of showing what the standard.
Right. You could have read the Rambam differently. You could have read the Rambam as saying that what is mi su'uda la su'uda, that a normal su'uda to su'uda is six hours.
But saying that already shows that it's not a din su'uda la su'uda. Because then you would just write, in su'uda la su'uda, whatever it is. But making it into a time shows that it's not about su'uda la su'uda anymore. It's about a certain...
You're claiming that when the Rambam said kishay shos, he's obviously understanding su'uda la su'uda as simply being a period of time.
Right.
I hear that. I also hear the Aruch HaShulchan. I could hear it going in both directions. Tov, mitzuyan. Okay, so just want to make sure I covered everything I wanted to in Sif Aleph. Oh yeah, what is the Nekudas HaMachlokas of an hour to 6 hours? So I alluded to that the hour is a little strange, and I gave you the pshat of the Gra. The Gra says that it's based on a Zohar. My brother Shlita has pointed out that one of the Gra's tafkidim is whenever he can, is he will try in his Be'er HaGra to justify, or that's not the right word, not justify, to accommodate is the better word, is to accommodate the Gemara with the Zohar, anytime that he could make them work together. So that's the derech of the Zohar, of the Gra. So here it works with the Zohar, so he runs with it. The Crazy Uplacy has a novel pshat. The Crazy Uplacy suggests that when it comes to Hilchos Birchas HaMazon, so we paskin that when you eat, that you have 72 minutes to bench. Why? Because the amount of time of digestion, the first stage of digestion is concluded after 72 minutes. He points out that there are other opinions that say that you could actually wait 6 hours because the food is not entirely digested for 6 hours. So the Crazy Uplacy suggests that the machlokis between the deos over here is the shita that says to wait an hour like we had from the Sharidura and the Isser V'Heter is assuming that you go after Tchilas Ha'ikol, which then will help us understand why you need both Berchas HaMazon and a Shah Achas. You need the Berchas HaMazon to end the meal. You can't have the two meals together. But you also need Tchilas HaIkul. And the other sheet that says that you're going to wait 6 hours because you go after Sof Ikul. Rabbi Forst points out that this approach is going to be questionable in terms of the way the Rishonim spelled out. In other words, we have the position of the Rush that spoke about the taste on your palate, that it's still in the palate for misu'uda l'su'uda. And the Rambam spoke about basar bein ha'shinayim. So how you fit that back in, and for that matter, the Gemara, although the Gemara maybe we could give terutzim for, but the pashas of the Rishonim doesn't seem to be that way. So that's another hezber in that machlokas. The crazy place lishitaso, therefore rejects a fascinating sheet of the Pri Chadash. The Pri Chadash says that you differentiate between winter days and summer days. He says because most people eat supper earlier on winter days than they do on summer days. So therefore, he says the Shei Shos would be adjusted based on that period of time. Some suggest that that's where the minhag of 3 hours came from. That on very short winter days, they would finish a fleishik meal, let's say at 2 o'clock, and then they would eat supper at 5 o'clock. So that some suggested that based on the Pri Chadash's pshat, that's what's going on. Rav Nevensal Shlita suggested a different pshat. That the 3 hours that are mentioned was because that in Germany they would eat short meals often. I think that's also very common. If I recall from English literature is that the aristocracy would have meals often, just like similar like the British have tea often, so too the aristocracy in Germany would have small meals often. And so Rav Nevensal said that his impression is that it was that way, and he says Rav Nevensal is a Yekki. His parents were from Germany. In fact, his father was one of the founders. What's the name of the school, the girls' school over here?
Chorev.
So Rav Nevensal's father was one of the founders of Chorev. It was one of the first real schools of Torah and Derech Eretz. I know nothing about Torah Chorev today, but once upon a time it was founded as one of the big schools of Torah and Derech Eretz. And I actually had the chutzpah to ask him so why he didn't send his children there, but that's not for now. That's for another time. He says it was common in Germany to have short meals at frequent intervals that came out mamish, that was three hours. So they would have, I think he said something like 4 or 5 meals a day, and then would come out to a 3 hour break. And so that works out very well as the minhag of Rashi. Okay, this b'siyata d'shmaya finishes Seif Aleph. Now, going on to Seif Beis, the halachos of cheese followed by meat. And here, of course, the Gemara does tell us that there is a requirement of going from cheese to meat with kinuach, and hadacha. What exactly is kinuach and hadacha? So here, I just want to answer Mati's question right off the bat. Rabbi Forst has a very rigorous definition. If you take a look at page 196 in your booklet, he points out that there are two things that one needs to do. One needs to do rinsing. In other words, and wiping one's mouth. So you would first do the kinuach, which means to clean it out. And he describes over here, one may not eat meat after deer without first cleansing one's mouth by eating a bulky food that wipes out the mouth. And then number two is hadacha, is to rinse one's mouth. By the way, there's some Rishonim who will say that hadacha means to wash one's hands, not to rinse one's mouth. But this, we paskin that kinuach and hadacha means these two things. Rabbi Force points out, I'm going to argue that not everybody agrees with him, Rabbi Force points out in Ha'ara 23 that although modern hygiene has provided more efficient methods of cleaning one's mouth, for example, flossing or brushing one's teeth or gargling with mouthwash, they alone perhaps do not accomplish the desired effect. Eating bulky food actually wipes the entire mouth surface. So that's what we have in the Shulchan Aruch. Let's take a look at Siv Beis. Achol gvina, mutar le'achal achar basar miyad, uvlad she'ayin yadav shlo yeshum davar mi'agvina, nidbak behem. So you could eat meat immediately following cheese. Then you have to check that your hands are not, don't have cheese on them. Then you have to do rechitza. V'tzarech lekaneach pivu ladicho. V'akinuach, and the Shulchan Aruch spells out, v'kinuach is she'ilos pas, v'ikaneach bo piv yofet. You could use anything, any abrasive type of food is going to be mutter, except for those foods like kimcha v'tamri v'yarka v'yishem v'dbakim v'chanichim that get stuck in the palate, and afterwards you rinse your mouth up. There are some shitas who say that when it comes to cheese afterwards, afterwards chicken, then in such a case one could be mako. I have a small ha'ara on this, and my small ha'ara is the lashon of the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. If you take a look at the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch that's nearby somewhere here, after the Pisvei Chuvis, maybe, yeah. The Kitzer Shulchan Aruch in Mem Vav Yud Aleph writes the following. He says, "Achol gvina, mutar le'achol achar of besar miyad besud acher, so vach yivdok yadav, imein sham dar me'agvina nidbak behen, o yirchatz mehem, v'gam yinaker shinav v'yadiach piv." You clean out your teeth and rinse your mouth. In other words, the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch is makel and says that all you need to do is clean out your teeth and rinse your mouth. So there is a big Talmud Chacham who wrote a parish on the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, Rav Braun. He was a very prolific writer. He has a set of Svarim on Shas called She'arim Mitzuyanim Bahalacha. So he, I didn't capture the whole footnote, but on the bottom of Reish Samaches, on footnote number Zayin, he says that l'chura, brushing one's teeth, would be enough. And it fits in. His comment is on the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. Chaval, for next time around, I should put in his whole discussion. I just gave you the first sentence. But the Shar Mitzion and Balacha raises the possibility that toothpaste is going to be enough. I suspect that this issue is going to be a very fundamental issue in terms of what exactly is a requirement when it comes to gvina. So what emerges is that the Rabbi Forst understood that by gvina, what you need to do is have abrasive material to remove what's in the mouth, and then you have to rinse it, because the abrasive stuff might dislodge it, but won't get it out of the mouth, and that's the requirement of rinsing. So therefore, I would say, halacha lemaisa, simply washing one's mouth out, which many people do. They'll wash their mouth out after milchiks. In such a case, I think that's difficult to justify. The Shulchan Aruch clearly spoke about kinuach and hadacha. But whether brushing one's teeth is enough, so that I think is a machlokas, Kitzer Shulchan Aruch and Rabbi Forst. Rabbi Forst seems to say not that way. I would be note that there's a lot of room to say like the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, that would be enough for kinuach, but that might get back to a meta issue that we're gonna have to jump into now, and that is what exactly is the requirement of what exactly are we getting out when it comes to gvina. The Rishonim spend a lot of time telling us what you're getting out when it comes to basar v'achakach gvina. But when you have gvina v'achakach basar, what exactly are we getting out in that instance? So that's where maybe going deeper into that, we'll come back to that machlokas. Yes, Moshe ben Mati. I would recommend not simply to use mouthwash, because Because here's where I accept Rabbi Forst's point that that's hadacha, it's not kinuach. And the halacha clearly requires kinuach. So the shaila, and as I would say, mouthwash would not be recommended to be the only thing that you use because that's only hadacha. Kinuach would be, the question is, what's the definition of kinuach? But mouthwash would not be enough. Yes, Matt?
I was just wondering in terms of Germany, that 3-hour gap, mm-hmm. Were the Jews within the nobility, or why was it extrapolated?
I think there was always a time that there were affluent Jews and less affluent Jews. So I think there were Jews that lived in a more affluent way and were able to eat in that manner. I think so. Now the Gruz take is a different take over here about the Gruz take in is as follows. The Gruz. On the Ramah that says v'yesh machmirim afilu b'basar achar gvina. There are some who are machmir on basar after gvina. So says the Gra v'chein mashma midivrei hazohar. From the Zohar is mashma that there is no that we don't differentiate between gvina after basar, just like basar achar gvina. So it seemed to me that the Gra is driving at that the Zohar didn't differentiate between the order of meat after meat or meat after cheese or cheese after meat. And so therefore for him, for the Zohar, it's an idea of separating between the two. And so therefore it could very well be that whatever is required for basar is by definition going to have to be required for gvina. That's definitely not the pashtus. We're going to have to get back to what the scope of that comment of the Rama and the Zohar is. Okay. The Rama then says as follows. That's what we're up to. Exactly what is the scope of this chumrah? So Rama says, "V'yesh machmirin afilu b'basar achar gvina, v'chein noagin." Some are machmir even when. Yes, go ahead.
On the last point.
Yes.
It's a suffix whether that's what the Zohar meant. I thought I was just quoting the Beis Yosef.
No, v'chein. Right. No. So what's your point, Natan?
Yeah, I just thought the girls. I thought the Beis Yosef says this.
Correct. Ein Echanami. Yes, he's. By the way, it's not the Beis Yosef by us in Kufayin Gimel.
Yeah.
Correct. That's the Mashmos of the Zohar. Now, what exactly? Yeah, but here's where it gets a little sticky, which I paused for. The reason why Natan, I call it the Zohar, as opposed to the Graz Shita, because it seems to me to be different than the Ramah. Let's read the Ramah together. How do you read the Ramah? V'yesh machmir nafil b'basar achar gvina v'chein noagin shekol shagvina kasha ein ochlen achareah afilu basar ov kemo b'gvina achar basar. The Ramah goes on and the Ramah says by gvina kasha we treat gvina kasha like basar. We treat gvina kasha like basar. Now, the Zayar Natan might even hold not only by Gvina Kasha, right? So that's what I was emphasizing when I say the Gra Ein Echanami. It's the Beis Yosef, but it's the Gra different than the Ramah. So now we're focusing on the Sheet of the Ramah. The Ramah says that we're Machmir for Gvina Kasha. Why? Shekosha Gvina Kasha Ein Ochlen Acharea Filu B'sar Ov Kemo Gvina Achar Basar. That Gvina Kasha, you can't eat neither chicken nor meat. We saw with chicken we're lenient before. V'yesh mekilin, there's some more mekil, v'ein limchos, rak shiyasu kinuach v'adochem, and til sidayim miu tov l'achmir. So the Ramah concludes that it's tov to be machmir on cheese. Okay. What's the nature of the schumra of cheese? Because clearly the Gemara said that the most that you're going to need from cheese to meat is kinuach and adacha. How can you be more machmir than the Gemara itself. So you know how the Gra answers this question, how you can be more machmir than the Gemara itself? The Gra asks it on the Zohar. And remember I told you that the Gra always tries to make the Zohar consistent with the Gemara. So he says that we see that we're supposed to be more machmir. And it's not, if you will, Baal Tosef by being more machmir. Because we know that Mar Ukva's father waited 24 hours. So the Gra suggests that this Zohar is really the idea of creating a herchek, and that it would be appropriate to create a further harchaka that's even necessary according to halacha, and that would be the idea to equate separating from meat after meat to cheese to separating from cheese after meat. In other words, even though when it comes to cheese and then meat, there's much less of a chashash of basar bein hashinayim and basar, and the basa bein achinichim and so on. Nevertheless, the Zohar is encouraging aharchaka, that you should always be marchik. That's how the Gra understands this chumrah of the Mordechi. However, or how he presents this chumrah of the Mordechi. However, if you look in the Ramah quotes the Mordechi himself with the chumrah of cheese, and let's take a look and see how it's presented in the Darkei Moshe. So let's take a look at Darkei Moshe. Go back to Darkei Moshe and pay test. Beis, he writes as follows. Let's rip through this. The Mordechi perikol abasar chuvas maram pam achas misuuda lesuda matzasi gvina bein shinayim. So the maram describes that I found once cheese between my teeth. Gazarti lahachmer alatzim basar achal gvina kemo begvina achar basar over basar of ani mekel. So first of all, clearly, the source itself of the Mordechi is not a Gra type of svara, but it's a practical chash of gvina bein hashinayim, and the chash is gvina bein hashinayim. So then, in such a case, then he felt that you should be machmir from gvina as well. How does Isser v'Heter present it? V'zel shon Isser v'Heter gvina rach kodim she'avra lov shisha chadashim. So now he adds a little bit more. He says if you have a cheese that is less than 6 months aged, Oshar mina chalav mutal echal basa miyad bosa sudal yitei kinuach vadacha. Alam ochal gvina yishana achar shavu lav shisha chadashon gvina mitulas, or cheese that is like tolas. What does that mean, like tolas? It took me a while to figure out what that word means. It's Swiss cheese. But what does that have to do with tolas? Because it looks like Swiss cheese has holes in it. It looks like worms had wormed their way through. So something that's 6 months old, or Swiss cheese, afa bishen isa bedavar mikol makum midas chasidus shlo lechol achara basar bosa suda kitshuvas maram. So here you have the iser v'heter that takes the maram woke up. There are a few cases in Pasuk Chalav where you had a story with the Gadol B'Torah that happened to him, that he was about to be nichshal in basar b'chalav, and then that became part of halachic parlance. So over here, this is another example. Something happened with the Maharam, and then the next generation, the Issa v'Heter, said, so that's what we're going to be machmir on. We're going to be machmir for cheese, for Swiss cheese, and hard cheese. And then the Darkei Moshe concludes, V'chein har benogim sholech al basar achar gvina kasha and bekes bein ha-shinayim k'mo she'en ochem gvina achar basar. So we're machmir the same amount of period of time, which would mean the requirement of the waiting of 6 hours. So Beis Yosef Kasav, V'yesh machmir sholech al basar achar gvina basar suda. And there are some who are saying basar suda. V'chein yesh v'zohar, v'yesh l'achmir dov. V'chein yesh l'achmir ach basar achar gvina. And here you get why, even though the Mordechi was beferish meka when it comes to chicken after cheese, but once you throw in the Zohar, so the Zohar says that you're supposed to have our chak in general, so then that's where we have the Ramah bringing in to be machmer even with chicken following cheese. V'ilu ra'am ma'ram divrei azor lo yimeko basar ba'ov. And the Maram didn't see the Zohar, and therefore he wasn't machmer in that instance. So what we have is, what started off with the concern of the Maram, and then we have this nuchshash of hard cheese. And this is halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa is that some type of hard cheese, we're going to leave that vague, some type of hard cheese one would have to be machmir for, that one cannot eat meat for 6 hours after that hard cheese. Now, what type of cheese does that apply to? So that's going to get into, and how do we define hard cheese? That's going to get into a machlokus between the Taz and the Shach. So let's take a look at the Taz in Sif Dalet. It's a brilliant Taz. Question is whether the other poskim, not just because something's brilliant doesn't necessarily mean that the contemporaries will agree with it. They might agree that it's brilliant, but they still might think it's incorrect. So let's see the Taz. The Taz takes apart our sugya beautifully. So it says, we'll go through the whole Taz. So Taz Sif Gotten Dalet says as follows. Pirush, Lahamtin Sheh Shos, Vishir Gvina Koshish, Azachar Ramah, that's what we read before. Because of Sham, the Ain Isar Basar Achagvina, the Dafka Tam Basar Shebepet, Me'achar Sheikaro Nikra Basar Shachon Migzabo Otto Basar Bechal, Mikol Mokom Mitzat Chasidus Yesh Lizar. So he quotes the Isar Veheter as saying that really one shouldn't be Machmir. Because when it comes to meat, there you have meat that is going to be stuck bein achanichim, like the Rush had described. And really, when it comes to cheese, you don't have that. In other words, cheese is not as potent as meat in terms of the amount of taste that it leaves in the mouth. And therefore, the Issur Hetter says it's only a midas chasidus. Okay. So now the Taz begins to take apart the Issur Hetter. V'nir l'niyaz daiti, shalatam aramim shezacharti b'reisha simen. Shebachilas gvina achar basu mishum basar shemein ashinayim. Avo betam shemoshek mena basar shebeped lo ichbaslan. So he says, according to Rambam, that's only concerned with what's stuck in your teeth. Even when it comes to eating meat first, he's only concerned with what's stuck in your teeth. Ef shalomar kan, b'chol gvina les iser lechol basar acharea. Degam be basar shemein ashinayim, lo avik gvinam be basar. Ilav dekari le ha basar odenu ben shinayim, kidisa b'gemara. So says the Taz, that according to the Rambam, there's no reason to be machmir, even with hard cheese. Because why are we machmir by meat? It's because the Torah says that meat between the teeth is considered halachically meat. But we don't have that chshash by cheese. By cheese, we don't have that chshash. By cheese, what do we say? There's no Gemara that says that Bein HaShinayim is considered cheese. Kedamar v'Gemara. Mishum hachi, Shebein HaShinayim lavi gvina kal. So we've taken care, says the Taz, of cheese followed by meat, according to the Rambam. Ulatam shezakar tishu mishum shuman, pshiti yesh lesa gami gvina mitolas. Shetam shlo nimshach bepeh. So he says, we said that cheese is not as potent as meat, but that's just standard cheese. But if you're talking about Swiss cheese, that taste is just as potent as meat. That's the Taz's analysis. So the Taz says that the Isser Veheter was being choshesh for cheese that could be as potent in its taste as meat. But when it comes to Bein HaShinayim, so then there isn't a chshash at all. Okay. So then the Taz then therefore concludes that he's going to limit the Chumrah. Even if you're going to be machmir with cheese, says the Taz, it only makes sense to be machmir by Swiss cheese.
So he says, but if we're talking about a cheese, even if it's an aged cheese, but if it hasn't been aged in a way that is like Swiss cheese, so says the Taz, there's no reason to be machmir. It's true that it'll get stuck between your teeth, it will, but at the end of the day, that's not halachically significant. What's only significant is the powerful Shuman. And the only thing that has powerful Shuman, he makes an assumption in Metzius, that the only thing that has powerful Shuman is Metulas, but not Gvina Kasha. So this is the Taz's Shita. Bottom line is, according to Taz, the only time you're going to have to be machmir to wait 6 hours after cheese is a Swiss cheese. An aged cheese, the fact that cheese was aged, is not going to qualify. That's Shita Sataz. Now, the Prima Godin points out in Dalid that the Pri Chadash strongly disagrees. And that is also the mashmos of the Shach. Let's first see the Pri Chadash. At the end of Dalet in the Mishpat Zav, he says, Omnam HaPri Chadash Cholek, Va'omar D'Gvina Bein Shinov Nami Mikri Gvina, V'chein Roy L'Hachmer B'Gvina Kasha, Ayin Shach Ois Tes Vav. So, the Shach's definition of what's considered hard cheese is any cheese that's been aged for 6 months. If it's been aged for 6 months, so then in such a case, you have to be choshesh. Now, Rabosai, I had a pel on this taz. This morning as I was preparing, I had a pel on this taz. I'm not sure if I stopped at this last time I learned. I told Michael today that Baruch Hashem, I'm still, in my third time around teaching, I still feel like Baruch Hashem, I'm still learning it. Because I don't remember if I stopped at this last time we learned this. And that is that this taz, l'chura, is against the Mardachi himself. Does anybody know what I'm referring to? The Mardachi himself quoted the Maram. What was the Maram's concern? He woke up in the morning and he had Gvina Bein HaShinayim. So I was bothered that the Taz is mamish against the whole Makar. So I had some Menuchas HaNefesh. I had some Menuchas HaNefesh that I added to the booklet. The Isser Veheter himself at the last page of the in Mem Aleph Yud. The Isser Veheter is Gufa struggling with this. The Isser Veheter quotes says that you're right. If you're choshesh for basar bein hashinayim, then of course you'll have to be machmir even for gvina kasha. That's what the Isser Veheter says, but what the Taz is doing, the Taz read the Isser Veheter, and the Taz is saying that yes, the Isser Veheter had that as the tzad to be machmir, but the Isser Veheter wasn't convinced that you have to be choshesh for basar bein hashinayim. That gufa, if you read the Isser Veheter, the Isser Veheter is gufa struggling with whether you have to be choshesh for that. So the Taz understood that the Isser Veheter was saying that there was a maharam that was machmir for basar bein hashinayim. But the Isser Veheter is not convinced that you have to be machmir for basar bein hashinayim. And the Taz is entitled to an opinion. In other words, it's not that the Taz was commenting on the Mardachi and then just misunderstood the Mardachi. The Taz himself is saying that Isser Veheter is himself gufa choker. And the Taz says, if you ask me, I would say you don't have to be machmir on gvina kasha. And the only reason to be machmir on gvina kasha is, as the Isser Veheter himself says, is because of Bein HaShinayim. So Taz is taking sides, and what he's saying, halacha l'maisa, then is, again, that on Swiss cheese, where you're going to have clearly the same level of shuman like basar, then you have to be machmir. But any other gvina that's less than that, the Taz makes an assumption. And here the poskim don't necessarily disagree with that assumption, it is still assumption. The Taz says anything less than that will not create shuman. Just one point before Natan, the Shach clearly disagrees. In Tezvav, in Dima Aslo Shekal Gvina Kasha, Shach writes, Umin Astam Im Yishon Yishisha Chadashim Chashiva Kasha. So he says that if it's 6 months, it's considered Kasha, and therefore falls into the category that the Isser Veheter wanted to be Machmir. Okay, so that's our first Machlokas. Our first Machlokas is whether it applies only to Swiss cheese or to any cheese that's going to be hard. And then the question becomes, how do you define hard cheese? Now, if you asked me when I was a young kid, what is hard cheese and what is soft cheese, I would tell you American cheese is hard cheese, and soft cheese I would tell you is cream cheese. So how do you define what's hard and what is soft cheese? So it goes like this. It goes like this. The Shach seems to be saying it needs to be aged for 6 months in order for it to be considered hard. And that's how Rav Ozner Paskins, that cheeses that are, and I heard this from his son, Rabban Sion Vozner, who I used to daven by. So he said that his father was makel on cheeses, even if the cheese would be hard if the cheese has not been aged for 6 months. And I found a Shevet HaLevi that seems to say the same thing, that I went over to Rav Ozner and I'd asked him about Machmirim. So he said his father was not Machmir. I'll talk about who those Machmirim are shortly. Rav Ozner just writes in a tshuva in the Shevet HaLevi that I have in the back of the booklet, he says that he's concerned that nowadays that sometimes people don't know if it's been aged for 6 months, then you should be Machmir. But the fact that the cheese is hard, so for example, American cheese is not aged for 6 months. And therefore, American cheese, according to Rav Ozner, is not a problem, it's going to be mutter. And that is the standard mahalach for sure in America. In America, people assume that for cheeses like this, that what you would do is kinuach and adacha, and shalom al Yisrael, then in such a case, you could eat fleishiks. However, in Eretz Yisrael, there are two issues that come up. One is Rav Nevinzal's chumra, Rav Nevinzal Shlita's chumra, and the other is Rav Eliashiv's chumra. It could be that they're connected, it could be that they are distinct and apart. Let's start first with the Torah Shebichtav and then go to the Torah Shebal Peh. So in Koivitz Tshuvas, Rav Eliashiv Zatzal raises the following question. He raises what's called Gvina Tzehuba today. See, he says, Gvina Tzehuba is not very, very hard. That's true. And it's not aged for 6 months. But Gvina Tzehuba does have a strong level of tam. Does have a strong level of tam. And therefore, Rav Eliashiv suggests, it's going to be talui in the machloikis between the taz and the pri chadash. This is tshuva simin nun ches. Which kav is tshuva? Yeah, it's the first kav is tshuva. Simin nun ches. Says Rav Eliashiv that gvina tzuba, he thinks you should be machmir according to the pri chadash. That what? According to the taz, who says that. Let's go this way. If you hold like the Taz, who says that we're not concerned with Basar Bein Hashinayim, and we are concerned about Mashichas Tam, so then in such a case, it's true that Gvina Raka is not going to have Tam, is not going to have Bein Hashinayim, because it's not that aged and it's not that thick, but it does have Mashichas HaTam. So then in such a case, then the halacha would be that one should be machmir. And therefore, the Pri Chadash, who learns that the Ikar Chshash is Basar Bein Hashinayim, so he'd be able to be a Mako in this case, right? Because the Pri Chadash was of the opinion that the Ikar Chshash is Basar Bein Hashinayim. So here, when it comes to Gvina Tzehuba, it has a powerful tam, but you'll have to be choshesh because of the tam, according to the Taz. But according to the Pri Chadash, who says that the Chshash is Bein Hashinayim, so Rav Eliashiv says in such a case, you would have to be, you'd be able to be Mekel according to Pri Chadash. That's Rav Eliashiv's presentation. Now, the Stimas HaDvarim of Rav Eliashiv, the way most understand it, is Rav Eliashiv felt that one should be machmer for Gvina Tzehuba as well. That one has to be choshesh for Gvina Tzehuba because of the chshash of Tam Moshech. That was his position. That's Aleph. Beis is Rav Nevinzal's position. Rav Nevinzal is actually more machmir than
Eliashiv and them be mako by non.
Swiss cheese. If you had Swiss cheese, non-Swiss cheese, that
which is hard.
But it's hard. Do you have such a thing that? Well, then it becomes a. Do we pass like the Pri Chadash? That's
because he's passing like the Taz.
He's being choshesh for the Taz.
Oh, okay, fine.
He's being choshesh for the Taz. Look at his words. Beis. Achein ladina trei tami nemrabu. There's two tami. Aleph b'nei shatam basa nimshachad zman rav. Tamaramba. Umeata b'isul echol basa achar igvina tzuva. Umeata b'isul echol basa achar igvina tzuva. Ayin b'archa shulchan. Vayin p'richot shulchol lekal taz. B'gvina kosh shach tami de ramba. Achein b'gvina raka lo shach atam shal ramam. Achla tam asheni. Sounds like he's being choshish for both tami. That's what it sounds like Rav Yashiv is being choshish for. Definitely in America, that's not the standard. That's not the standard chash. But because I think in America, what most people assume is that the halacha is like the prichadash and the shach, and not like the taz. So they don't really, they're not mefaltel too much on Mashiach's hatam. But Rav Yashiv was choshish for Mashiach's hatam. That's one chash.
What is
Gvina Tzuba? Gvina Tzuba is the closest thing that you would have to American cheese over here. It's basically sliced cheese. It happens to be...
Is it cheddar or is it...
I don't know my cheeses very well.
People tie it like American cheese, it's barely even cheese. It's not, there's no tam to it.
There's no tam. Right, so no tzuba is much stronger. The Israeli cheese in general is stronger than American cheese. So that's gvina tzuba. You put it on your shopping list... on Friday, so it's a different type of cheese. It is a stronger cheese. So according to Rav Yashiv, you wouldn't necessarily have to be machmir for American cheese. It would just be gvina tzuba. Rav Nevenzal though would be machmir for American cheese, because Rav Nevenzal holds that this whole shear of 6 months was only because that's how long it took to take cheese and make it into a block and make it into a gush. That's Gvina Kasha. Look, the other positions are a tremendous chiddush. You know, American cheese, if you threw a block of American cheese at somebody, you could hurt somebody with a block of American cheese. That's not Gvina Kasha. So Nemtzal explains very simply. He says that once upon a time, it took 6 months to make American cheese. What happens today? Today there are enzymes. And the enzymes make it faster. Now, if you take a look at Rav Vosner's tshuva, Rav Vosner clearly mentions that, but he rejects it. Rav Vosner didn't accept it, but Rav Nevenzal holds that way. And more than that, Rav Nevenzal holds this in Mikra Tadina. He holds it's pashut that the shach today would be machmir on American cheese. This is one of Rav Nevenzal's biggest chumras, and that's it. So we have a few different shitas over here. We have the standard. Havana is just to be machria, like the shach and the prima gadim, and that is gvina kasha. And if the psak is gvina kasha, so then, and you take the shach literally, gvina kasha is 6 months, and therefore anything else you can be makel on. However, Rav Yashiv points out that there is a taz, and that taz actually had an entirely different approach. It wasn't basar ben hashinayim, it wasn't only Swiss cheese, it was also anything that's moshech tat. So he says Israeli gvina tzuba is Moshe Tam. So the Chevra pointed out, well, that American cheese wouldn't fall into that category. I'm a Kabbal that. And then the third sheet is Rav Nevenzal's sheet. Rav Nevenzal says, no, it's not just Rav Yashiv's Chumra. I remember the first time I went over to Rav Nevenzal to understand the sheet, I didn't realize it wasn't based on Rav Yashiv's Cheshman. It's a different Cheshman. The Cheshman is that when it comes to cheese today, almost all of today's cheeses are going to be hard. And you want to hear a Chumra Gavi Chumra? What happens if you take the cheese and you bake it? And now it becomes soft. So Rav Nevenzal is also machmir. Rav Nevenzal holds that you have to wait 6 hours after pizza. Oh, you have to wait 6 hours after pizza. So, but that's not the standard psak. Standard psak, again, would be in America is only Swiss cheese and hard cheese for 6 months. Then in Eretz Yisrael would be to be machmir and gvina tzuba, and then would be a chumra to say all hard cheeses, and then a chumra on top of that would be to say even if you have a hard cheese that's then been softened, it also has a din of a hard cheese that you have to be choshish for, at least the way the Taz breaks it down, for basar bein hashinai. There's something I thought that I missed. Yes. Okay, I could pick up with it next time. Yeah, Moshe, go ahead.
The two main concerns are tam and gvina bein hashinayim.
Yes.
So why would you, who cares that
you know, that's what they used to be. Like, it used to be a 6 month process. Like, right now, American cheese is nothing.
That's why Rav Nemtzel holds his Mekir Dedina. Rav Nemtzel doesn't understand the Mekilim.
No, I'm saying the opposite.
Why?
Because there's no time in American cheese, and there's no, it doesn't end up between your teeth.
I think Rav Nemtzel would say that you have to be choshesh that it would end up between your teeth.
But isn't that like a
Metzius? So then maybe we would show Rav Nemtzel the American cheese, and maybe he would say then, in a chanami, then if in Metzius it doesn't get stuck between the teeth, then maybe he'd be megel. Or, and this I never, the way the Prima Gadim sets it up is that Rav Nemtzel's chashash would be bein hashinayim. That I don't recall if I ever hammered that out with him. Whether his chashash of all cheeses is the tam or his chashash is bein hashinayim. But he definitely holds that the din is gvina kasha. In other words, go back to Rama. The din is gvina kasha. If the din is gvina kasha, so then b'metzias gvina kasha is today we most of our cheeses are gvina kasha. Obviously, cream cheese would not be. Most of our cheese would be gvina kasha. Whether he's just making an assumption like the pre-Megadim's construct or not, that I don't remember myself. That would be something that should die to me in fire. Yeah.
Isn't expanding Taz seems a little difficult because he himself is saying that if it's old cheese, even though Lechora old cheese is also going to be Moshe Katan to some extent, that's not enough. He requires this very high threshold of Mitulas, which is like, you have like real, they make these cheeses which are like really, really like spoiled, like that
right.
type of taste will stick in your mouth for a very
right.
long time.
Right.
Most of our cheese, I feel like even if they have time, they're not like these really, like,
uh-huh.
These other cheeses
now,
are.
Now, you're responding
like,
to Rebel Yashas.
These cheeses are like mamish moldy. Like, if
right.
you could smell it from like the other room.
Right.
Our cheeses are not like even.
Right. So that you're responding to Rebel Yashas. You're saying that Moshe Tam makes sense when you're talking about something like a Swiss cheese, but if you're talking about Gvina Tzuba, then it...
At least the top, within the top.
Within the tops. And that's what Rav Yashu was building, his construct. Right. In. His whole construct is within the tops.
Right.
Yeah. Givaldik. Okay, so Mirtz Hashem, our plan on Thursday is we're going to wrap up Hei Tes and go to Tzadi Aleph. Mirtz Hashem, I'm skipping Chal. The nature of these simanim, peches, peites, is that they're very sheer heavy, a little bit less seder heavy, just because there are more details in the poskim and less intensive in the Shulchan Aruch and Nosei Kelim. So if you're getting ahead, don't worry, because we're going to catch up in your session. And I think the guys asked me that we should have two shiurim next week despite the wedding, which of course everybody's invited to. I'm going to put up another an invitation. It's a longer trip. So Chas Chasam Akal is to Beit Shemesh this time. But I think I'll try to give shiur 2 days. So maybe what I will do is I'll give shiur on Tuesday. I won't give shiur on Monday. I'll give shiur on Tuesday and Thursday, next week. And I'll have shiur on Thursday also this week in our session, just to keep us moving. I'll have the Mar Makomos for Tzadi Aleph on tomorrow in your session.